The following sermon is from the United Church of Tishomingo.
And I don't have as much a sermon today as more just a talk, but it's kind of always amazed me how God works things together in your life, in my life, in all of our lives to kind of meet us where we are. And I've preached sermons for almost 40 years now, and it's funny how people will say, that's exactly what I was thinking, and they'll tell me what it was and what it was about, and it's nothing like what I said or what I meant. You know, that's not what I had in mind at all, but God was speaking to them through that where they were, and everybody gets God's message out of it. So we're going to look at Luke chapter 2. I want to share a little bit of personal story with you this morning as much as without violating anybody's dignity. Some of you will know way more about this than others, but just to keep in mind that my wife and I were blessed this last couple days. We got to have our son home for a couple days, and for us, it's been a long journey, and let me just say it's a long ways to go, and those of you that know, anyway, as I was reading through this passage and I was listening to that last song, before I read the passage, I'll share it with you now. When it talks about He will hold you fast, and He's not going to let you go. If you've ever dealt with issues in your family that are tough, especially with children, you know that no matter what happens in that child's life, you will go to hell and back on their behalf. If you're a parent, that's what you do. I don't care who they are. I don't care what they've done. I don't care where they've been. You never quit. That's just what you do. And the more that I go through and the more I experience, the more I see, the more I feel, and the more I hate it, the more I also understand God's love for me. I understand it at a deeper level than what I could understand before I have had to go through this fight and this battle and this struggle and this just everything that you hate about it. It's tough. And so I'm looking in the passage of Luke, and I've been studying there, and there's a word there that doesn't make sense the way it's translated in the Greek to the English. So if you've all heard the story, but let me read it to you anyway, just a few verses. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8, and then I want to explain a word there and how that relates to your life and mine and what God longs to do for us in our lives. Luke 2, 8. And in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the field, keeping watch over their flock at night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom He is pleased." And I looked at that, and as I've studied this, I thought, you know, Jesus came to an earth that was full of evil and wickedness and sin and all this stuff going on. And how could it say that He came to earth and that He's well pleased with men? How can God be that way? And so, not to get too technical, because I don't want today to be a technical lesson, but in the Greek, if you look that word, that phrase up the way it's written, "with whom He is well pleased," what that really says, how that's really should be translated, means with whom it pleases Him to be benevolent. That's what that says. And it says, it pleases God to be benevolent to men. In other words, with all the mess that was going on in your life and mine and all the stuff that's going on in this world, it was not a bother to God to come be benevolent to us. Y'all ever had anybody that's like messed up in over and over and over again, and it's like, you know, they just apologize, and "I'm sorry," you know, and it's the same thing. And in your heart, you're going, "Man, I love you. It's not a problem to me. I don't mind. I mean, I don't want this to continue to, you know, I don't want life to stay this way, but for me to love you, to come to you, to be benevolent to you, to help you, I don't mind. That pleases me. That's what God... See, it's the picture. I don't want to cheapen it. But it's the picture of you're sitting around the Christmas tree, you know, and the kids are opening the presents and the parents are smiling, you know, because the kids are happy and enjoying what they received that morning. And as a parent, you get joy out of giving things to your children, and you get joy out of seeing them be blessed. And that's what the picture is right there, of God looking down and saying, I've got so much I want to give you, and I've got so much I want to do for you, and it pleases me to do that. And yet, some of us are still on the run, and some of us still fight that. And some of us know that's where I need to be, and I'm not against it, and I'm not opposed. I'm just not ready to give in yet. I'm just not ready to give my whole self over yet. You know, when all the jail and prison ministry I've done over the years, one of the most common things I would do, and I was straightforward with those guys, didn't cut them any slack, wasn't rude, but I just tell the truth. And I don't know how many young men's eyes I looked in and said, you know what you need to do, but you're having too much fun right now and you don't want to do it. And they ducked their head and smile and, yep, you're right, preacher. That's exactly what's going on. You know, I know what I need to do, but I said, well, how fun is this? You know, are you all right? How much fun are you having? And so we reach that point where we understand that God longs and desires and is pleased and is blessed and He sets the table, but you got to come to the table. The thing I've discovered about God, and I've discovered in my family with my son and all that kind of stuff, is this. You can't make another human being do something against their will. They have to come to that understanding themselves. Because if somebody makes a change for me out of fear or out of shame or whatever, they're never going to be who God created them they're going to be. They're going to be living their life based on what they think I want for them. Does that make sense, what I'm saying? And so you and I, you know, I don't know how many of you have the calluses on your knees and the tears in your eyes and the prayers and all the things that you've done, you know, that we go through. But through it all, I've learned that no matter what happens, I can't make somebody come to the table. God is pleased to invite you. And it doesn't matter. I had a friend years ago who had been in a war years ago, and he just absolutely could not believe that God could forgive him or heal him or accept him or have mercy on him or invite him. He just couldn't believe that. I said, it doesn't matter what a person's done in their life. It makes absolutely no difference. Whatever has happened in your past, God is pleased to set the table of offering you forgiveness and healing and grace and sonship, daughtership, childship. That's what God wants from you and I, from all of us. And every single one of us has a path. I walk, everybody knows that I walk every day. It's so funny. Nobody knows my name, but you're the walking guy. I see you out in the neighborhood walking. And I'm only kind of being funny, but I'm not, you know, because I don't really know what to say. People ask me, why do you walk all the time? You know, is it for health? Is it for, and I said, I got a lot more to run away from than most people that, you know, I'm running. You know, one of my favorite baseball players of all time, if y'all are my age, you might know who Satchel Paige was. But Satchel Paige was an unbelievable pitcher in baseball, and he had a lot of sayings. And one of the things he used to say was, don't look back, something might be gaining on you. And that's you know, how I'm kind of living my life. Because no matter who you are, I don't care if you're a preacher or if you've never preached a sermon in your life, we got a past that we wish wasn't there. We got a past that we're trying to get away from. We got a past. And that's what God is well pleased to do, friends, is destroy that past. Just get rid of it. It's gone. Through His body, He didn't just forgive your sins, but by His blood, He washed them away. And they're not held against you anymore. And the only time that this stuff comes up in your life is when the devil brings it back, trying to make you feel guilty or not worthy or all this kind of stuff. While he's doing that, you don't understand that you got a father that not would go to hell and back, did go to hell and back for you and for me. And he loves you that much, and nothing's going to stop him from getting to you. And I don't think in this world that we live anymore, because I just see people, how people are living their lives. And I'm not getting on them. I don't want to condemn them. I'm saying if they knew they had a father that loved them that much, I don't think they'd live their life that way. Now, church, that's our job. Are you hearing me? What's the Christmas season about? The church has to show that we're willing to go to hell and back for those people that God created that are maybe not where they ought to be right now. And instead of condemning or judging or throwing away, or now there's some, I know, there's some you got to back off and you got to wait. I'm not, you know, like I said, you can't force anybody. But I just got a question for you today. How far are you willing to go to show the love and the grace and the forgiveness and the over and over and over and bring them back and bring them back and bring them back, because they're worth it. They're worth it. If you were created by the hand of God, which you were, you're worth it. You're worth that. But God, watch this, made us to be His representatives. And sometimes we're praying for God to do what He's telling me to do. Yeah, John, it's going to be tough. And yeah, you're going to put up with crap. Sorry, I know it's church. And yeah, Jeannie says I shouldn't say that in front of the kids. And all I know you're going to put up with all that junk, but they're worth it. And sometimes you got to wade through that mess to get to the place where they can come home out of that mess. And so, as frustrated as I've been, and as angry as I've been, and as hurt as I've been, and as broken as I've been, all this kind of stuff, my determination and my desire and my love is probably stronger now than it's ever been before it was tested. Does that make sense what I'm saying? And after the testing, it's like a marriage. After the testing and the testing and the testing, you learn just how valuable it is. And it gets stronger instead of getting weaker because of everything that you go through together. And so I just want to close this up today by saying this. Thank God that He was willing to keep coming after me and after me and after me and after me until, you know, I finally got there. And the way I thank God is not saying thank you for what you did for me, but it's by going out and doing the same thing that He did for me to others that need to be brought back in. Does that make sense what I'm saying? I'm just going to ask you to remember one thing when you leave today out of this sermon. Church, if we don't, who does? We that were redeemed, unworthy, unlovable, not we, what right do you have to not have compassion and mercy and grace and say, I'll go to hell and back? Now, God's the final decider and all that kind of stuff, but you still have some footwork to do, because that's why He gives you His Spirit, so that you can do this work in His Spirit, and then He'll make this work out like it's supposed to, whatever His plan and His purpose is for people's lives. But when you leave this place today, I'm going to ask you something. Don't forget this. Every one of you sitting here has somebody in your mind that you've given up on, or that you've kind of like, oh God, if you've had enough, it's all there is, I'm going to ask you not to do that. I'm going to ask you to remember, like I said, it may not be time right now. I'm not going to so knock on their door and force it. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm going to ask you to remember that you owe it to the God who did it for you to do this to others. And don't ever turn that back when that opportunity comes. Be the first one in line to say, welcome home. I love you. And you're a part of this family, and we'll do whatever we can for you. Does that make sense what I'm saying? Watch this. Here's the good part. If that pleases God, remember, He is pleased to do this with men. That's where you're going to find your pleasure. When you show that, because we're in His image, when you show that, that's where you find your pleasure. Not in being right, not in getting, digging the, but in showing benevolence. That's where you'll be pleased, because that's how God made us. Let's bow and let's close with prayer. Father God, I just thank You this morning. I'm humbled at Your love and Your patience and Your long-suffering and Your mercy and Your grace. And it doesn't excuse bad behavior. I know that. But I know, Father, that You still never stop loving us, and You never stop pursuing us, and You never stop wanting us and desiring us, because You made us to be with You forever. And Father, here's what I ask today. Give us this gift in this church family. a heart's desire to see people brought to you in salvation and in truth and in love, because what pleases you will please us. And that's why we're here, is to show the love you've shown us to others. Father, by your grace, let this be the way that we live our lives, and let this be the way the church glorifies your name. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.